The views expressed by the participants of this program are their own and do not represent the views of, nor are they endorsed by the Florida Bar, their respective officers, directors, employees, agents, or representatives. None of the content should be considered legal advice. As always, consult a lawyer. And we are back. This is episode 2 of the Florida Bar Workers' Compensation Section podcast. My name is Ken Hesser. I am an attorney here in Gainesville. I have with us today two guests. If you listened to our first episode, you might recall Sean McCormick with me. Sean is now the chair of the Workers' Compensation Section, has been there since July 1st in that role, and we're looking forward to talking to him today about what's going on with our section. And we also have with us Lisa Ann Thomas, state mediator out of, we call it Orlando, but I know she's now actually technically out of Altamont Springs, so Seminole County. And Lisa is heavily involved with many things going on with our section right now. And we're excited to have her on to talk a little later about what she's been up to. But we're going to start with Sean. So Sean, it's been a busy first 5 or 6 weeks in your role as chair. So tell us a little bit about what's been going on with the section, how it's been going as chair, and some things that we should all know about as we proceed into the early fall.
Sure. Ken, thanks for having Lisa and myself on. And we had our first executive council meeting on August 1st, and I got an opportunity to hear from several of our committees with some updates. Specifically, what we have going on is we are going to continue to do our JCC roundtables. That is a platform that we hold via Zoom. We have Phil Augustine and Brian Suter are going to be working with our Judiciary Committee, Mark Tobey and Ileana Marcos, coordinating those meetings throughout the state. It'll be super easy for our members to log on, hear from their local JCC or any JCCs throughout the state. We'll have some question and answer session. It's just kind of an open forum to talk about procedure and any general type of questions. So we're going to continue that. We also have, it's not a section event, but it's a meet and greet that many section members will be at the WCI on Sunday, August 17th, to meet the mediators and judges and so forth. And then we have a couple CLEs that are coming up. We have, and these will be sent out through email. We have our mental health, compassion, fatigue, and vicarious trauma. That's a free Zoom one that we're holding through our health and wellness committee with the section. That's on August 27th. At noon, we sent out an email link for that. On September 10th, we have Linda Farrell and Heather Carbone doing a presentation on our civil rules and how they apply to the workers' compensation law. And then on October 8th, we have Neil Imbrakar and Holly Akers doing a session on trial objection. So those are kind of some of the upcoming events that we have coming. And then we also have our CLE at sea. We had mentioned this before. We're taking a cruise out of the Bahamas, out of Cape Canaveral. We're going to be going February 26th through March 2nd of 2026, and we plan to send out an email to all our members with the link for registration for that. And we are looking for speakers, so if anybody's interested in speaking or be on a panel, please reach out to me, and we'd love to get you involved.
Just a brief aside on the WCI event. I went to the first one. I believe it was a couple of years ago. I might be dating myself. It might have been 3 years ago. They all kind of blend together when you're on my age at this point. But I remember the first one they did with the judges and the mediators. I think they scheduled it for a hallway right outside on the bottom floor there. And it was really, really cramped. And there were so many people that showed up that year. It became something where I know they expanded it last year. I wasn't able to get there on Sunday night. But from my understanding, it was really, really a strong event. And I have heard around that judges and mediators really want local attorneys, or excuse me, attorneys in the state to show up there and give them feedback. And I know that's something, and Lisa, you can chime in here, but it sounds like that's something I know, I'm assuming you're going to be there, something that I think is an important night for you as far as the WCI, correct?
Absolutely. So we actually have three meeting rooms that we'll be in. We'll be in the Anaheim, Atlanta, and Boston meeting rooms at the JW Marriott from 5 to 6 p.m. And it's a great opportunity, particularly for the Emerging Leaders Committee members, to have face time with these judges and the mediators. Oftentimes, cases resolve at mediation, so you may not even always get to a judge. Also, most young lawyers may not have an opportunity to have motions or attend a motion calendar, which I also highly recommend, but they may not have an opportunity to actually argue a motion. This is your opportunity to meet with the judges in person, see them as real people, and actually have a conversation with them before you have to appear before them. And it takes a little bit of the, you know, the nerves out of appearing before our judges.
Yes. Speaking from experience, knowing a fair amount of judges like both of you do also, they want to see everybody face to face. The number one complaint I hear from judges nowadays and mediators is nothing's live. And they talk about all that we've lost from people being live. In fact, I joke it at CLEs now when I go to live events, half the CLEs in the discussion is about the way it used to be, right? The way we used to interact and how much we appreciate actually being there. Things are the way they are now. We've moved on, obviously, but it's a great event. And as we all know, anybody that's gone to WCI, it's not a ton of time often where actually the lawyers can actually get together because there's so many other distractions there. You know, we all know about it. So having an event like that on Sunday night before things really start kicking in on Monday, I think is an excellent opportunity for everybody. So if you're able to stop by there, please stop by on Sunday night at the famous World Marriott right outside Orlando. So that's the first thing. I also want to mention, too, thank you for everybody that showed up to the Workers' Compensation Gala. We're in August now, so we've been in June. We had really good turnout there. I think it was a great event celebrating the 50th birthday. Sean was there with me. So we had a good time, but I also want to mention, I think it was really good to get something started for the future. So in the future at the bar convention, which will be in Orlando next year at the, I call it the Bonnet Creek, but the Signia, you know, hopefully we'll get, you know, something. I know we're already talking about doing another event next year, not to the extent of a gala, but something where we can get local attorneys in Orlando or anybody else showing up at the bar convention to show up there. Because I think our role as a section should be really expanded, because I think we're a great section. It's something that even though we're not the biggest section, to have a role at the bar convention, I think, is a really important thing for us. Would you agree,
and,
Sean?
And yeah, I do. So along those same lines, we have a workers' comp section membership reception scheduled for Thursday, June 18th at the Florida Bar at 5:30. Obviously, that's way in advance, but it's scheduled. We'll be making members aware as we get closer to that date. So that's what we have.
Make a point. Yeah, make a point ahead of time for mid-June for the bar convention. Not just for us, but it's a great event. So do whatever you can to see if you can mark your calendar early for that. Sean, one more thing. Your retreat's next month up at Portland, Maine, or in Maine. Chime in a little bit about that on how the progress is going on planning for that attendance, and are tickets still available, as they say?
Yeah, so we sent out an email recently with some updates. One was the link to our meeting that just took place. One was save the date for the CLESC, and the other was two links. One was for registration for the out-of-state retreat in Portland, Maine, September 24th to 27th. And it also included a link about the brochure, like what are the activities, what does our schedule look like? So there was two links there. So we are planning on doing a welcome reception on September 24th, September 25th in the evening, which is that Thursday. We have our dinner. We're going to be taking a boat to a private island to have a lobster bake. And then on Saturday, we will be having our meeting in the morning. We have some optional catch and release lobster tour scheduled. And then on Saturday, we are going to go to the Francis Perkis House up in Newcastle, Maine, which is just north of Portland, to tour her homestead and get a tour of her grounds and just get some more information from her about how she contributed to the development of workers' compensation law, social security, and social justice. So we're very excited to do that and kind of tie in an educational component to our trip.
Having gone to some of the retreats in the past, I think Sean's done an excellent job as far as coming up with some activities. I think the activities are what really make the retreat. I know my wife and I are already signed up for the, we might have signed up, but we will sign up for the catch and release lobster event, which is going to be a lot of fun. So please, if you are available in September, it's not too late to check in to see if you can come to the retreat. It's a great event, great camaraderie, And a good way to get in with, too, if you're a younger attorney, to get in with some older practitioners, experienced practitioners, and have a lot of fun and form some lifelong relationships. So check that out. So we're going to move on to Lisa Ann Thomas. So Lisa, who we were just talking to a little bit during the first segment here, is a state mediator, as I mentioned, out of Altamont Springs. And Lisa, how long have you been with State Mediator's Office now?
Since April of 24, so just over a year.
Okay, so I've known Lisa. I haven't known her my whole career. I've only gotten to know Lisa over the last few years prior to her becoming a state mediator. So Lisa, tell me a little bit about your background. I mean, what kind of work were you doing prior to becoming a mediator, and what got you into the state mediation game?
Well, so I actually started with plaintiff's work, doing mass torts and complex litigation, and I actually transitioned into workers' comp defense because it was a very good opportunity to learn a lot of medicals and become very proficient in a different type of law very quickly. So I had an opportunity to be a defense attorney and also handle, again, general liability cases. After a period of time of doing defense work, I started taking mediation classes, and I was fortunate enough that one of the other state mediators was actually retiring right when I finished my all of my observations and curriculum for the state for the mediation program. So I was able to kind of just shift right in, which was a blessing because now I'm seeing it from kind of the court's perspective. So it's a really interesting opportunity. I actually would highly recommend every lawyer, but particularly younger lawyers, consider taking the mediation class, because by learning those negotiation tactics, I think I would have been a better negotiator early on in my practice had I learned what I know now as a mediator.
Without getting into the details of my own practice, I will echo your remarks and say that it is a great, great benefit to your practice as a whole to take the, it takes a week, it's a commitment, but taking the 40-hour mediation course and doing the observations is really enlightening. So let me ask you this, Lisa, before we kind of get into your, what I like to say, expanded role within the section, what's your favorite part about mediating? Since you've been doing it a year now, what surprised you? What do you enjoy about doing it?
Well, that's an interesting question.
Before she answers, I'm just going to object. That's a compound question.
Won't be the first time, Sean.
My favorite part, I think, honestly, is getting to meet everybody across the state, because a few years ago, as you all know, we shifted from a platform of being assigned to a specific judge to now being across the state. So my morning mediation may be in Pensacola or Miami, Tampa. So I have a broad spectrum of the attorneys that I get to see, the swell of humanity that I get to see across the state. I am constantly meeting new people. Even at WCI last year, I would meet more people that I would never have been exposed to in my practice. So honestly, it's getting to be familiar with the community that has been a very enlightening experience. And then sometimes you're able to help a claimant settle a claim that they were really hoping would settle, or vice versa. On the employer carrier side, they want to potentially close a case. So you're able to help the parties really resolve matters, and sometimes in creative ways, kind of get things, look for a resolution to a benefit that hasn't been provided, and maybe you can help them get that case solved. And that's kind of a nice opportunity.
So Lisa, we have a lot of great mediators in the state, both state mediators and private mediators, and you have been stood out in that. I'm part of the executive council along with Sean, and you've been coming to the executive council meetings now for a while, and have really tried to get involved more than just, say, your day-to-day job as a mediator. What got you interested in wanting to get a little bit more involved in the section beyond your mediation work with the state?
Well, I hope I don't embarrass Sean, but I'm probably going to credit him a little bit with this. I actually used to work with Sean. He was at one of my prior law firms that we were at together. And so he has been a very big advocate in my career in getting me to try new experiences, become involved. He's constantly interested in hearing other people's perspectives and viewpoints and honoring those and wanting to engender an environment where all viewpoints are respected. So even though I am a neutral, so I can't have a role in the EC, unlike claimants and defense, he still invites me to come and participate, which I always find to be a very gracious invitation.
Well, that's great. I did not know that you used to work with Sean or had involvement professionally with him prior to taking your current gig. So you've been getting involved with the section. So I guess generally, what has been your focus, I guess, section-wise, I guess, outside of mediation? What's been your focus or what things you've been working on with the section over your last, I guess, year?
So this year, last year, I was the co-chair of the Emerging Leaders Committee. And so one of the focuses that I tried to bring was a mentor aspect. I find that having a mentor is always a positive for young lawyers or less experienced lawyers, because I want to limit it to young lawyers, because for me, this was a second career. Prior to being an attorney, I was in journalism. I used to be an editor at a newspaper. Then I was a paralegal. And so I guess you could say this was a second or third career. So it's not always a young lawyer. It might be a less experienced lawyer. So the mentoring aspect is very important. And I also find that mentors tend to glean something from their mentees as well. And so it ends up being a symbiotic relationship. So I started with last year in May, we did a pilot program of a mentor program in Tallahassee. And so this year we intend to expand that to all the districts. I'm working currently with a few potential mentors in each district to try and bring these mentor programs to life in all the districts. Some of the other things I would love to see expanded, of course, are attorneys attending the first DCA oral arguments, whether it's live or whether we can, you know, do it through the streaming cast and have an opportunity to discuss those after, because the more you attend the first DCA oral arguments, the more you can kind of see how the judges think and how you might change how you might approach a case. So I think that's always advantageous for you to hear more experienced lawyers argue cases and why it matters for what you're doing today. And then beyond that, of course, we are hosting with CLEs. We're trying to get more of the ELC members, which is the Emerging Leaders Committee. We're trying to get them involved in developing some of these CLEs, because again, the more you teach something, the more you actually learn it. So if you're having an opportunity to develop a CLE, you might have an opportunity to really hone in on a special skill that you may not have had before. So I always encourage people to bring me their ideas if they have them. And I'm open to hearing it. And I really felt engendered by the executive council as well, that they have been very receptive in putting our members in the various committees and having us participate throughout the section, which has been great.
One of the issues you often hear, specifically within our world, is concern about the number of younger lawyers, you know, those under 30, coming into comp. The joke always is for law students is nobody really goes to law school saying, hey, I want to be a workers' compensation lawyer, right? And that's always been that way. But I think there's a perception that back in the day, there were probably more younger attorneys coming in straight out of law school or maybe somewhere else, you know, first 3 years after a first job entering the profession. What have you seen, I guess, in your last year as far as the numbers? Do you share that concern about the number of younger lawyers coming into the profession?
I don't know if I am concerned that there's a vast amount of young lawyers. I think that's great to invigorate the section, to invigorate the practice of law. What I share a concern of is some of the communication skills are different. Some of the, when you have less opportunity for these in-face opportunities that we were discussing before, the communication is sometimes lacking. So any opportunity that they can have to increase some of those interpersonal communication skills, I see as a positive. I think there's going to be a point where we have a lot of young lawyers and a lot of retiring lawyers and not a lot of lawyers in the middle of the spectrum that can continue to train these young lawyers. So the problem arises where there's the disparity between the experience levels and the younger lawyers aren't getting the training that they need. So I go back to my mentoring aspect where these lawyers really need to seek that out and learn from the more experienced lawyers.
So the elder millennials and the Gen Xers need to step up, I think, is what we're saying here. So that's a message out to anybody listening to this podcast. Us middle-aged lawyers need to consider taking these roles as mentors to the mentees, because I think that's the only way to encourage people, not only to enter it, but as we all know, to stay within this section, because stay within this practice, because that always has been an issue for many of us partners of law firms trying to keep associates and the like. So that's a really great observation, Lisa. I know that you've been, and we're going to be bringing on our next episode, two board certified lawyers to talk about the board certification program from kind of a younger perspective, from they're newly minted board certified lawyers. And I know, Lisa, I helped you out on a presentation we did last month and was very excited to see a good number of board certified prospect lawyers at the Zoom meeting, and talk a little bit about your work there, because it was really a great turnout. Because I see on the certification committee some concern about getting people to take the exam. So I was very excited to see the number of people show up there.
There was a great number of interest of those interested in potentially seeking board certification, and I think we were able to dispel some of the. I think we were able to dispel some of the ideals that all these trials are necessary, that you were able to comfort some of these younger lawyers in letting them know that they have an opportunity to use substantial equivalents, which are very important, because 25 to 30 trials sounds like a lot. And if you settle at the courthouse steps, there was, you know, then you lose that opportunity. So I think having some of these substantial equivalents were really important to get, and they had their questions answered, not just about what our opportunities are available, but what, you know, sometimes it's a CLE that might be a substantial equivalent. Maybe it's a different type of research that you've done on a case. You've gone through the trial memo, you've done a really complex litigation, so maybe it doesn't make it all the way to a trial, but that doesn't mean that that's disqualifying. So I think the between you, Mr. Hesser, Matt Carrillo, and Kristen Magana were really able to be a great panel for some of our ELC members to generate that interest in the board certification process. And I'm hoping that we're able to do another similar seminar in the future, hopefully with CLE credit, but if not, at least to provide that kind of background for the qualifications and what they might be able to expect on an exam. Of course, not sharing any questions or anything like that, but giving them some background on why it would be advantageous for them to even consider board certification on both sides, because it's helpful to both claimants and defense in different ways.
So, Lisa, I know we have a big event coming up. I believe it's in October. I'm actually helping out with it. The workers' comp, is it the judicial college or the, not the judicial college, it's a seminar, right, for younger attorneys?
OJCC, yes. Academy.
Okay, OJCC. Tell us a little bit about that.
So the OJCC Academy, it's not a bar event. It is put on by the OJCC, and our steering committee has been working very hard to develop the curriculum that the students are able to attend. But you can, we've split it up in two ways. So this year, on October 23rd, we're actually doing a paralegal seminar to have encourage that the paralegals to make sure they're being involved, they're following the rules, and to know what their parameters are as paralegals. Then on October 24th, we bring in the OJCC Academy for the less experienced attorneys, and they are going to go over settlements. They're going to go over rules of evidence. They're going to go over mediation practices and tactics and how to prepare for that. There's a lot. It's like a mini forum all packed in, crammed into one day. So there's four different elements that they're going to be able to have materials on right from the judges' mouths. There's also some more experienced attorneys that will be speaking at these panels. And also we'll have a guest keynote speaker during the lunch period as well. But it gives the young lawyers an opportunity here to hear directly from the judges, which in a more relaxed forum than they might otherwise be used to interacting with these judges.
Well, it sounds like a really exciting event. I'm looking forward to coming down and helping out and participating. And Lisa, anything else you wanted to bring up as far as what's been going on as far as from your role recently?
I encourage any members, whether you're an emerging leader committee member, to reach out to me, or a more experienced attorney. If you want to get involved or you have an idea that you think would be a really great either a seminar to put on for the young lawyers, or an opportunity that you want to express, or an event that you think would be beneficial, bring it to us and we'll try and make it happen. Because the only way these committees are successful is through participation and continue to have events that actually draw people in. So if there's an opportunity that you want to discuss, please contact me. I'm always open to hearing those.
Well, Lisa, thank you very much for coming in today and talking a little bit about what's been going on in your world. And Sean, as always, congratulations on your first 5 weeks or so as chair. And hopefully we have an exciting next few months coming up as we get near your retreat. So everybody, thank you all for listening to the second episode of the Workers' Compensation Podcast here in Florida. And we will be back next week